Hey everybody, welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
Hey, I'm group.
Dino and
Ted.
Yes, and we're going old school, black and white, which is why the video is in black and white, which is kind of cool. We're doing Arsenic and Old Lace.
I bet you've never seen this one.
If you have not seen this movie, I guarantee you're going to love it. I mean, give it a shot. Comedy, horror, Cary Grant in this movie just is...
He kills it.
His comic relief in this movie is just great. I mean...
He can do everything. He's done, you know, we've talked about
great
Hitchcock
actor.
Last
yeah,
week.
And, yeah.
And he's done these. He's just all over. He does drama, comedy, suspense films.
Great, great actor.
Maybe
yeah.
kind of like the first horror comedy, black comedy.
Yeah.
It takes place on Halloween.
So I was just going to say that.
So
yes,
it's all legit.
It's on Halloween. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's... there's. Hey, this movie has got plenty of spookiness and monster horror stuff.
I say it's
going
just
with
as
it.
Much of a horror movie as Psycho is. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not as intense, but it's
directed by Frank Capra, who did It's a Wonderful Life, and
right.
Mr. Smith goes. You know, so he
right.
he has
he's,
a
he's
lot
a cherished director from
right.
you know, Hollywood's heyday. So
and he kind of you know veered off here with a little bit of horror and
This was actually a stage play first. This was a movie that was based off a stage play.
Okay,
and. The two.
I could see this working out as a stage play.
They still do. They still.
That's
on,
why
on
I,
stage.
I did see some of those.
The two ladies that play the aunts in this film, who are great.
Yeah.
They were the actual actresses on the stage play. They were given, I think, 8 weeks leave to go film the movie version.
Okay.
The movie was at. It came out in 1944, but it was actually made in 1941. But it had to be on the shelf for 3 years because the play was still going on. And they didn't want to put the movie out while the play was on.
Okay.
And there's a little gag and running gag in this movie that the one actor looks like Boris Karloff.
Right. And this is the Brewster family.
Right. And the funny thing about that is Boris Karloff actually played that character
in the stage play. Okay.
And the only reason that he wasn't able to be in the movie is because he was an investor in the play and he was like the top billed star. He had to be in the stage show.
Okay.
So he could not be in the movie. So they got another actor, and then there's still that little running gag that, you know, he looks like Boris Karloff.
And he does. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But they do put, like, scars on him and stuff because
which we'll get to.
Yeah, you'll find out. But I mean, it stars Cary Grant as Mortimer Brewster, his girlfriend Elaine. I can't remember her name.
You
remember?
I want to think the Beatles song Penny Lane, but it's
something like that, but very beautiful girl.
Oh, she's cute.
Oh my god, for 1940s, even though you know I go for those 1940s chicks, you know, very vogue.
Yes.
But anyway,
Peter
Lorre is Dr. Einstein.
Dr. Einstein, plastic surgeon.
Oh, Peter Lorre
and
is Dr. Einstein.
If you haven't seen any films with Peter Lorre, he's done his share of horror films, a few with Vincent Price.
Yes.
M, which was a German film where he plays a child killer.
Oh, he played all the way up into the
60s. Dr. Orloff.
There's
a film he did called Mad Love, which is a real good one, too. So there's some scary movie, horror movie cred in this film. So don't just scoff it off because it's
not at all. I mean, this is a classic, man. Mm-hmm.
And I had watched this film ages ago, and I knew what it was about, but I couldn't remember it all. And just this brought back all the details to
me.
I was like, "This is so good."
No downtime. It's almost like a play because it's action right off the bat. Once they get to the house,
right?
You know, which is
the momentum doesn't stop.
Which is Mortimer Brewster's aunts have the house, and it's Abby and Martha Brewster,
right?
And they're
two old aunts,
two crazy spinster ladies who we'll get into about
Teddy, the other brother,
and Teddy Brewster, who's a little cuckoo, and he thinks he's
Teddy Roosevelt.
And he's constantly coming down, giving, and the ladies use him for it. So which we'll get to in the movie, but
even been spoofed in Bugs Bunny cartoons and stuff like that.
A little bit that I don't know if you caught up on. The one old lady in here, I forget which one is Martha Abbey. But anyways, Warner Brothers and Bugs Bunny,
the
little witch.
Granny, the old witch.
They took that character from her.
Yeah.
And it's her voice in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see that
the
little
Halloween witch,
Bugs,
the green one? Yeah.
Yes, that's her. And when you watch the movie, you'll see her tap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they drew and traced her throughout, you're right. It's and listen to her voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the voice actually. Now that you say it, I can see that.
But I love it. The two old ladies in this movie are spectacular.
They are.
Even Peter Lorre is just a drunken doctor in this movie and stuff. And you know, he's sympathetic in a way too. I mean, you kind of, you know, feel sorry for him.
I just love his voice. Oh, hey.
Oh, you're making me do this.
Where's my schnapps? But the film starts off with a couple of reporters kind of skulking around City Hall.
Is anybody famous? Yeah, is that more?
Is anybody famous getting married, I should say?
Right.
Because it's City Hall Marriage Department.
Oh, and there's a line out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't think you'd see that. Times have changed. But back then.
They notice Cary Grant's character, who plays a character named Mortimer Brewster. He's a drama critic. He's a writer. He's the kind of guy that writes the books, you know, like The Fallacy of Marriage.
He's a male chauvinist.
Lifelong bachelor.
He'd never get married.
Well, he's in line to get married to Elaine.
Yes.
His fiancée, Elaine. And he sees these two reporters kind of looking at him and
puts his collars
up. Yeah, collar up, hat down. And just drawing attention to himself.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, isn't that Mortimer Brewster over there? And
they said that. I don't think so, but let's go find out what. So they're eavesdropping to find out the name, right. You know, and he's standing in line and he's trying to tell the guy at the, you know, front there, you know, that
he's
his name.
A license.
And he's whispering, and of course the guy can't hear.
What? You're who?
And he goes, Mortimer! And then he just takes off with her and crashes in a phone booth.
It'd be bad for
his
career if people found out that, you know, he was getting married.
This is nothing horror. This is just to start off the movie. Really quickly, we're going to get into the horror part of it. But,
you know, he's kind of going back and forth. I think if he should, you know, go through with this, but he just loves his girl. You just take one look at her.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's like, am I crazy?
Right. So they do. They get married just as the peace style there, get their license. And, you know, the plan is they're going to go, you know, pack
honeymoon
up.
Immediately. Yeah.
Because how this works is she lived next door to his. Like, he knew her, like, his whole life. She lived next door to him in his childhood home.
Yes.
He lives in a house
with
his two aunts.
Yeah.
And he had two brothers. And there's, like, a cemetery in between their houses.
Which is kind of cool, yeah.
And she is the minister's daughter, the preacher's, the reverend's daughter, or whatever. Yes.
Which is another thing. His whole life has been about bachelorhood and all this stuff.
Right. What's her father going to think?
Yeah. I mean, he's a priest. So, you know, he's like, but, yeah, kind of funny. And yeah, that cemetery right in between both houses. How cool would that be? You know, just look out your window. I don't know if it'd be cool.
It's like where all the family members, like, you see all the tombstones have Brewster on them.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, then they what did you say? And now back to the old Brooklyn's most dreaming, charming district.
Yeah, there's like little narrations for a little while. And then after that it says, from here on in, you're on your own.
That's what it says. From here on in, you're on your own. Yes.
And I think
because that's when they come right up to the house.
Right. But, it's a couple of police officers. One's, you know, looks like he's heading towards the end of his career. And he's showing the new guy his beat and telling him, you know, this is a sweet beat. You know, you're not going to have any problems.
Typical black and white movie, too. I mean, or 1940s, you know, he's got the old nightstick. He's swinging it around, walking his beat. I love that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, man, this is my alley so much. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the black and white from this era. And then it's been a while since I've seen this, but I've seen this a few times. But even when I just watched it, I watched it earlier today. I mean, it's just.
Right, and we watch it
so
more for detail.
Good.
Because we really have to know it when we're talking about it. So when you watch it, really pay attention to everything.
Yes.
And he's talking about the Brewster house and he's talking about these sweet old ladies and they're charitable. And
said they wouldn't hurt a fly. They're the best that these ladies care about. And there's a for rent sign. The older cop kept telling him, you know, they're set up for life. They've been left a fortune and stuff like that.
Right.
And he's like, well, why do they got a for rent sign?
He's like, they just do that to get people in so that they can do nice things for them.
Right. If anybody ever needs a home or a place to stay, that's where they'll go. You know?
They get a place to stay, all right.
They sure do.
And I like how there's little, it's the fall, little kids running by in their costumes.
Oh, yeah. You can see the Halloween. You know, all the kids are running by very quickly. And
then I think we go into the house finally Aunt Abby is sitting there talking to Elaine's father, the Reverend, and Teddy
Brewster, playing the piano.
Brother, he's playing the piano. Remember,
Teddy this guy's
always
hilarious.
thinks he always believes he's Theodore Roosevelt. I mean, you can't shake him from that.
Yes.
Everything they say to him has to be, you know, in turn, like, you know, when the police officers knock on the door to visit,
yeah,
you know, it's, you know, hello, General, how are things at the front?
Oh, yeah, and the cops, the older cops salute him.
And he's trying to get the young one to go along.
Yeah. Oh, and he goes along. He's having fun throughout the whole movie. This guy just has fun with it, so, which is kind of cool. But
right, so, you know, the Reverend, he's looking at one of Mortimer's
books,
and like, oh, I don't, this man can't marry my daughter. And,
right.
You know, they already did. That's what, you know, they did this kind of on the secret. This isn't a big wedding. You know, yeah. It's kind of like an elopement kind of thing. They're going to go and go to Niagara Falls. That's what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
Niagara
Falls. Yeah.
So, and I do love Teddy. Every time, I mean.
He's got the glasses.
He's got the glasses dressed up. Teddy Roosevelt.
He's got all he needs to be that part.
Mr. President. You know, everyone has to address him as Mr. President.
And let me tell you, and the looks on their faces. Teddy's got great looks, you know, and the cops do. Cary Grant's facial expressions, that's kind of the comic relief of the movie. I mean, he just makes some. Let me tell you.
He just can't believe
it. When he finds out what goes on, he's just scatterbrained to the point that Elaine's talking to him. Everything's going over his head. She's just saying, what are you doing? You
know what?
He's going, yeah. He just does not know what's going on. His mind's just in an uproar. It's crazy.
Right. And another thing about Teddy, the little running gag here, every time he goes up the stairs, it's always, charge! And he runs up there, and the one hand on the clock always falls down, and they always have to fix it.
Yes.
It happens about 18 times in the movie, and it's funny every single time.
It is. And they always go over and press it, you know, and to hold
why
it.
Why did cops even go to the house anyway? Oh, they were picking up some toys.
Yeah.
I think they repair the toys for the kids in the neighborhood or something like that. And
that's what they did back then.
Right.
Cops would, you know.
And, you know, little Abby, she's asking the older cop, you know, how's your wife? I heard she was sick. Let me go get her some.
Let me tell you, these two little old ladies are the sweetest ladies.
Yeah.
I would love to have two old ladies like this in the neighborhood. I keep saying old ladies, but that's what they are.
Yeah.
You got to talk about it as they're two old ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sisters. And, which is another crazy thing. And we'll find out it's just a family. And, big twist at the end.
Right.
But, anyways, I love these ladies.
Yeah, they come out with a little tin of broth for, you know. I mean, they're kind of, you know, you never leave their home hungry. They, you know,
give you a piece of cake, some tea, stuff like that.
But and everyone
needless
loves
to say, they're so nice. They do, you know.
That's why when the movie progresses, you're like, my God.
Holy Moses.
And their expressions when they do it, like, it's no big deal.
No kidding. That's awesome. I love it.
So, yeah, I mean, they're so great, and so then the other one comes home, Martha.
Yeah.
So it's Martha and Abby.
Yeah.
Abby's kind of like a little shorter, dumpier one, and Abby's a little taller and thinner.
Yeah.
And you know, they're just the little chit chat that goes on.
Yeah.
And
she, I love her running with, you know.
Yeah, Tanya. Just a little
all across the house, little tatter, you know, feeding, but right.
And Teddy's going to give him some toys, and then there's a
all
boat.
His shit.
He you can't take the boat. The boat's going through the Panama Canal. I need it for the Panama Canal. And,
yes.
Because Roosevelt was all involved in that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's down in the basement digging the canals.
Yeah,
you know?
Which we'll find out. Yeah, he's digging the canal in the basement.
He's digging graves down there. But
he's digging graves down there. Exactly. We'll just come right
canal.
Off and say, yeah. And the little old ladies will let him
know. Using him for that. Yeah.
When it's time to dig a.
Oh, honey, someone's died of yellow fever again.
Yellow fever. Well, we might as well get into it. I mean, it's basically these two old ladies. That's why the for rent sign's up there and stuff like that. They bring the older
bachelors,
gentlemen, who they find out they don't got a home,
no family,
nobody to go back to. They're old, they're unhappy. A lot of them are, you know. So they want to comfort them by
Put
them under misery with arsenic, strychnine, and a tid.
Titch of
cyanide.
Cyanide.
And
elderberry wine.
And elderberry wine.
Right.
So that's basically what they do. Yeah, they get and when they die, because they think they're doing good.
They're doing a charity.
They're doing a charity. And
they do a service over them and everything.
Yeah, they bury them. Well, they have him go dig the canal. They tell him it's yellow fever. He goes, another victim of yellow fever. And then, he takes him down there. They do a funeral, put it over. And that's basically
that's the premise.
The premise And there's a lot more that goes on. But that's,
what makes it funny is when Cary Grant's character finds out about it.
Yes.
So he'll come over the house. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to tell his aunts that he's gotten married and he's going to be, you know, going to Niagara Falls. You know, there's a few scenes in between with the two ladies giggling and talking, and and Cary Grant and his lady, you know, kind of smooching in the cemetery, and he sends her home, go pack, go get ready.
Meanwhile, he's got a taxi driver out there.
That's another thing throughout the whole movie. Tells the taxi driver to wait.
Oh my God, an hour and I'm gone. But yeah, this taxi driver waited the whole movie.
Right, and the whole movie takes place throughout Halloween evening. It just takes place on one evening.
Yes.
And so this is like afternoon, taxi, just wait, I'm going to go pack, I'm going to get my stuff, we're going. The the aunts insist, you know, we have to have a cake, we have to have people over.
He goes, I don't got time, leaving, I'm going to Niagara Falls.
But they insist, they're already whipping him up a
cake. They're whipping the cake and the frosting and everything.
As soon as he says it, they're on it. And through the course of events, while he's at home, they're in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly why he ends up doing it, but I guess we should say first, they open up a drawer and there's a photograph in there, because this is going to come into play later.
Right.
And it's of, there's Teddy. Teddy is Mortimer's brother as well.
Yeah.
But there's another brother who is kind of like the bad egg, and no one has seen him for 20 years.
Yes, he was evil. I mean,
his name is Jonathan.
He would bite worms in half and kill them and...
Is that what they said? I don't remember.
Yeah, the aunt said that. She was really disturbed by that. But
and even the picture of the kid, it's a horrible picture.
He's
like hair all sticking up. And he's all ugly.
I wonder if that was a real picture of the child, because...
I think it was. I don't know. But throughout something...
my big role in the movie!
Cary Grant looks up. They have like a window seat. If you know what a window seat is, kind of like a little bench by your living room window. Some of them would lift up and it'd be like a little storage chest in there. Mine just has drawers on it.
Right.
It doesn't lift up.
Good old days when you could lift it up and hide in
right.
it.
Right. He opens that up and there's a body in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all come out. They're getting the cake and the table's ready. And they bring a little rice and throw it on.
Oh, yeah.
And see, the first thing that he thinks of is because Teddy is so unstable that Teddy killed this guy.
Right. And he confronts Martha and Abby and says, you know, he starts telling him, there's a body in here. We got it. And he's saying, you know, Teddy. Meanwhile, they're like just going, they're smiling the whole time. They're going, nonsense.
Oh, and it's not Teddy.
They
basically admit what they're doing.
Yeah, because in their mind, I think they're doing anything wrong.
No, and they're funny, but they play that so straight. You don't doubt for a moment.
Right.
And these old ladies are murdering people.
Yes.
Poisoning.
And they're going, oh no.
And they don't even see it as murdering. They're doing charity.
Yes.
You know, because they say, you know, a Christian service over them.
Yes, we're doing it right.
They even say something like, oh, you know, he looks so nice for a Methodist or something like
that. Yeah. You know? Oh my God. And this is what takes off with Cary Grant's character. He just starts making these faces like, you know, he has no idea what's
going
on.
Right, so the first thing he wants to do is he wants to protect them. They've taken care of him his whole life.
Right.
And because he was raised by them. And he wants to take care of them. Yeah. Doesn't want to see them get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy is unstable. he has already made arrangements so that if something ever happens to the aunts, Teddy's going to go to this particular sanitarium.
Yeah.
Happy something.
Happy Dale?
Happy Dale sanitarium.
Yeah. It's on the Happy Dale where you'll
be
happy.
So what he decides to do is go and hasten this, get it going now, get him out of there.
Oh, yeah. He immediately becomes psychotic, starts getting on the phone. Meanwhile, his fiance...
Don't you know how every phone call he makes, he's yelling, hello, hello, I'm
for you. Yeah. Well, back then, that's what they... You got to get the attention.
I mean, the point of it is just to protect his aunts.
Yeah.
He can't believe they're doing this. He can't believe what they're saying.
And that's why he's kind of in shock, I think, through the rest of the movie.
Right, you know, and if I can just, you know, we'll just blame it on Teddy. Put Teddy in the sanitarium.
Yeah.
Which I love. Throw his brother under the bus.
Happy Dale, it's supposed to be a great place for, you know,
but he's just completely flabbergasted, and
love the scene when the old women, after the whole story's been told, and they go into the kitchen, mm-hmm. and he's just standing there.
Face when
and he just turns his face right to the kind of, not to the camera, but right, to show his side profile. And it's just great. That's when he heads towards the phone,
yep.
and he says, "Hold, I'm getting okay." And he gets, he's
trying to get does a lot of like mumbling. Like, okay, I'm
getting
myself together. What am I gonna do?
Yeah, well, he's trying to get who
the
doctor first or the judge?
He's got to get I think he may have needed the judge first to sign the paper.
And then the doctor.
And then he needs a doctor. And then he needs Teddy to sign
the paper. Teddy.
And this is just a whole big process throughout the whole movie of him.
Right.
So his wife now.
I said fiance, but yeah, his wife.
Right. She's out in the window kind of just whistling for him. And he's like pointing at the window seat. And and she's lost like the whole movie until the very end. She has no idea what's going on, and he's not telling her because he's just in such a tizzy about what he's found.
Right.
And look, he goes back in the kitchen. They're busy making the frosting.
They're frosting the cake, and they're going, you can lick the bowl after. Yeah. That's what they tell him. You can lick the bowl after. Hilarious. These two women are the best.
Man.
And I love the kitchen too, man.
Yeah.
I would love to have I'd just be sitting in the chair just. Times have changed,
right? And then when he's in the kitchen with them, come to find that they're talking about how many it is, and
this is when they come up with
they're like, oh, it was 11. No, it's 12. Dear.
It's 12. The first one didn't count. He was. Why did they say the first one didn't count? I forget. Pneumonia? Did he have?
Heart attack. That's what we're talking about, Jonathan. That's what we're talking about, Jonathan.
Okay, I think they said he had a heart attack. No, who knows? I'm confused now.
But they're confused about how many they killed.
But they do go with a dozen. So
right.
A dozen. So
and so this new one that's in the window box is 13.
Right.
In the window seat. He's the 13th one.
Mm-hmm.
And that just sends Cary Grant over the edge more.
Oh, like, yeah.
12.
He goes, you've been because the shock of they've been doing this for many years.
It's bad enough. It's one. Now you've got. And they're buried in the basement. And Teddy's involved in this.
There's 13. So all this is going in his head. He's like,
they're running out of room down there. They don't have
this is like, I mean, I don't want to be evil, but this is kind of like, this is a John Wayne Gacy. I mean, bodies all under the house.
Yeah, these old ladies are almost like serial killers. They have a particular type they look for.
Yeah. They're very sweet and nice, but they're.
It's not like a horror movie that it's not like a John Wayne Gacy type of horror.
Right.
It's very it's a black comedy.
Right. Oh,
and we like it because it takes place on Halloween and just these old ladies, they're so against type. Oh. And I think it's just fun for that reason. It's not
it is fun.
A horror film really, but it's just it fits with what we kind of like here.
Without a doubt. I mean I love it. And what goes on?
So he's got to get the judge to sign the paper.
Yeah.
To commit Teddy to the sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be out of the house for a while.
And Teddy is downstairs. He's digging the hole.
Yeah, he's digging the canal, which is actually the grave.
And he always comes up. He's not dirty. So this must be nice dry dirt, in the basement.
Oh yeah,
so,
I guess.
Back then they used to have it wasn't concrete most of the time.
Like a fruit dirt. Cellar kind of thing. Yeah, just dirt.
But I mean, 13 bodies. The whole floor must be covered in dirt.
Right.
But anyways, most like the Burbs, where he starts digging.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just like sand. I'm just like,
this is kind of like a nice compliment to the Burbs too. Just, this kind of a movie too. So that's fun. Meanwhile, the running gag, the taxi driver's still waiting out there.
Yeah. They keep going. It's nonstop. I mean, scene to scene, the taxi, he's going, you almost bought the taxi now, and he's going,
later on. He's 22.50. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
he's talking about this
suit. But he keeps looking in that he's
he just can't believe that there's a body in there.
And his
wife comes over. She's
like, where are you, man?
Yeah, because we're supposed to be leaving. They're supposed to be catching a train.
Yeah,
and they got she comes over. Hey, look at my outfit. I'm all gussied up and ready to go. And he just can't tell her. He's just in such a daze about the whole thing. Ends up kind of kicking her out. Mm-hmm. When do we get to there's a guy, old guy, that old codger that comes over, looking for that room to rent. Does that come
up? Oh, that comes a little bit later.
Is that a little bit later?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember. See, I watched this.
Well, yeah,
over 2 days. Yeah, we do get to that. Yeah, she leaves, and then that old guy is going to come in.
Okay, yeah, once she exits the door and goes right back home. Because
yeah, she storms off home. Yeah. And she's just mad. She doesn't understand what's going on him. Does he want to be married to me or not?
Mm-hmm.
Cary Grant's just on the phone trying to find that judge
yeah.
who can sign the form for him, saying, you know, he's gotten so much worse. He's got to go soon.
Others knock at the door. The old guy.
It's a little old guy.
And Abby?
One that fits their, you know, what description, they look for.
Yeah. Description. Yeah. It's funny how
he comes in. He's all sourpuss.
Oh yeah. He's just, now this
here
one,
you got a room for rent.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder whether to feel sorry for this one because this guy's man. He's got an attitude like you know.
Yeah.
He's just.
Hell, I better see the room. I probably won't like it.
Right. So I can see how maybe yeah. this guy.
Yeah. If she's living like, at a hotel, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And they right away want to sit him down, get him something to eat, something.
They
to
don't waste any time, Ted.
No.
They want to immediately go to and give him the poisoning. After like three questions. Oh, you got no family?
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know, you're alone. You know?
Right.
So sit down.
No
you're family. Ready to go.
Yeah, nobody.
You know, 5 minutes,
oh,
we're ready to kill you.
They give each other, let's give him some
yeah.
wine.
Oh, the eye contact.
And then you love when he says, you know, I don't indulge. And that, because I'm for a second, like, it's elderberry. We make it ourselves. Like, elderberry wine. Well, I haven't had elderberries in a long time.
Yeah.
And so then they
get and it's funny. Cary Grant.
Well, because every time the old man goes to take a sip, you know, Cary Grant says something
he's
really
hollering
loud,
about, yeah.
hollering on the phone, and he says something like, I'm not going to be able to deal with this, and they're like, he doesn't live here.
Yeah.
This isn't going to work.
And Cary Grant sees that he's going to take that sip the last third or fourth time.
But doesn't he come up and pour himself a glass? Like, he's just, you know, he's all, his nerves are shy.
After the guy leaves, because at first he stands up and he goes, no! And he tells him, don't drink that again.
Right.
And the guy freaks out and he tells him, he's hollering at him, telling him, get out of here. You know, and the guy's just freaked out. Going, I'm surprised he didn't have a heart attack. But yeah, he darts out the door. And
I know, because like I said, every time he goes to put the lip up there, he yells and he has a symptom. And the sister's just like, you know, they get real excited when he's about to take a sip. And then when he's
when he hollers and nets him out the door, they both run over to that thing and sit
down
like
right
they're,
down,
like
they're
two little girls. But it's like, you're in timeout, you know? And and he does go to take a drink of that wine.
Right. Like he's not even thinking.
Yeah. He's just going,
his nerves.
And they go,
no, not that.
Yeah. And, they have to do that a couple times in this movie.
Right.
Kind of, they have to take the poison away because before somebody gets it, you know,
and
it's set up there on that shelf.
I think the next person he reaches on the phone is the doctor. And it's kind of funny because they say that, you know, he needs him, you know, I know we were talking about later on in the future, but I need you to take him off my hands now.
Yeah.
And when the doctor who runs the facility, the sanitarium, finds out that he thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt, he's like, I don't know if that's going to work.
We've got four of them already.
Four Teddy Roosevelts already. I don't know if that's going to work.
He goes, do you perhaps think he could be a Napoleon or
something?
Yeah, could
you convince him to be somebody else?
We've only got one Napoleon. I think that's what he says. Hilarious. But yeah, there's four Teddy Roosevelts already.
Great.
So he's already concerned that his job's going to get tough. Right? Four Teddy Roosevelts running around the place.
And so he's got to go and take care of some business outside the house.
Yes.
And I love how he doesn't just, don't open the door. Don't
let
anybody
in.
And he's talking to them like little kids.
Yes.
And they're just sitting there.
Ain't going to happen.
they're
very childish like. Yeah, I mean, so they do listen.
They are the sweetest. They're the sweetest ladies in the world.
And he starts, I mean, he knows they're a little wacky and he tries to comfort.
Well, like he tells his wife later on in the movie, insanity runs in my family.
Yes.
Or he says it practically gallops.
Exactly.
You know, he says that they came over on the Mayflower, and, you know, ever since then, we've, you know, every Brewster's gone nuts.
I love their shelf that they open up their cabinet of all the hats.
Oh, the guy left the hat. Yeah, the guy who's in the window seat.
Yes.
They put his hat in there, and there are. It's the 13th hat they're putting in there.
Every guy, because back then in the 40s, everybody wore hats.
Right.
Men did, and women did, too, a lot of them.
Cool hats, fedoras.
Yes, I would love to dress up like that now in a fedora. But it's probably too much of a hassle, you know, with the tie and stuff. But I would.
A tie.
Whatever.
Fedora wearing what I'm wearing.
But yeah, it's cool how they got their own little shelf. Like, serial killers would do. That's their trophies. Mm-hmm. A hat for each one. And they're all different. I mean, you know, so.
Right.
But, yeah, and then they.
They turn the lights off because he told them, turn the lights off, don't answer the door. And, well, they're about to head up to bed and do exactly what Mortimer asked them to do.
Right.
When there's a little.
Knock at the door. And there you see the shadow of.
Right.
I think it's Raymond Massey who plays. Who plays
Jonathan
Brewster.
The long-lost brother is coming back.
Who is a criminal, and he's
on the run from the police. He's on the run
from Indiana.
He's a murderer. Yeah, he's on the run. He escaped from a, was it a sanitarium?
A mental institution
there.
Yeah. And Peter DeLorey, Dr. Einstein, is right there. But they show both their shadows at the door, and they're both up there going... and Peter Lorre's Dr. Einstein is like, he's drinking a flask of
He's a
alcohol.
drunken plastic surgeon.
And
he's altered Jonathan's face.
I think like two or three times.
Right, he's done it several times.
You know, and
the plan is to do it again
right.
tonight so that he can get away from the police so they won't recognize him.
But what he turned him into, which we'll find out through most of the movie, because he was drunk at the movies, watching a Boris Karloff movie.
Frankenstein.
And so when he was doing his last surgery on his face,
made him resemble Boris
Karloff. And he's basically saying, I'm sorry, it's because I was drunk.
I was watching that movie. I love how, if you've never seen a Peter Lorre movie, just how he talks. He's got a certain inflection.
German accent.
Yeah, he was German.
Type, yeah.
And if you haven't seen Comedy of Terrors with him and Vincent Price, it's one that we've got to do
soon. Okay, yeah.
Because I think we really kind of go for the funny horror films. You know, he died shortly after that, but he's so good. He's so good in these movies.
Oh, he is. Yes.
And I forgot that he was in this when I'm going to watch him. I'm like, oh, yes!
Awesome. So, a little surprise there. But yeah, he's the sympathetic doctor who's being drug along by him.
Right.
I mean, he'll kill him if you don't stay here, help me when I need help, you know.
Right.
I'm going to kill you.
And
you
it's
know,
not so. Like the guy's like the spitting image of Boris Karloff, but definitely like in a profile view, you know, like when they show him the shadows.
Yeah.
In the shadows he does. And that's the first thing that they don't even recognize him, the ants, when they see him. They don't even recognize him. When he starts saying some of the details, then they recognize him as Jonathan.
Well, yeah, they weren't going to let him in, but he came in anyways.
Right.
But
he's got the nice scars all over the place. Look like he's been stitched.
And they say, I recognize the voice. It is Jonathan.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they...
And earlier in the film, they had talked about taking one of the little neighbor boys to the movies, and they made a joke how... It better not be a scary one, which is funny because after we've already heard what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they see his face, you know what he reminds me of? That movie we saw.
And it just...
With what's his name? And because they don't say Boris Karloff right away.
Right.
And then there's Peter Lorre. I saw that movie too.
This is when he says, that's when I was... intoxicated.
That's
what... I mean, he's blaming his drunkenness on... I don't know.
He's always got his little bottle of schnapps.
Criminal or not, why you would let somebody drunk work on your face surgically is, but you know, there are the two old ladies go in the kitchen too, and
right.
because they're telling them basically you can't stay here, and he's telling them we need a place to stay. We're staying here.
Right.
This is my house and I grew up here. You know, so he's just going on and on with it. And I like how the two old ladies peek out of there's a little glass on the door that opens up and
Peter Lorre's describing what he's going to do to Jonathan. God, first I'm going
to
this to the eyes and these to the nose. it's fantastic.
You would be good old boss. No. Yes. A great character. Peter Lorre's awesome.
And if you, they even spoof him in a lot of old Bugs Bunny cartoons. He's always like the little short guy with like the eyes half closed, and he's usually like a scientist or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, the little bunny.
Come here.
Yeah, see, like if you don't know a lot of these old movies, well, a lot of young kids these days probably don't even watch Bugs Bunny cartoons. I mean, my
Maltese
kids
Falcon.
One
of my favorite film noir movies.
Right, and they've spoofed that Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you know a lot of these older films, you know, when they spoof something, you know, Edward G. Robinson,
Peter Parker.
Oh, that's a classic.
Yeah, see?
We even goofed on it last week when we were doing Psycho, yeah.
Like when you're hiding Bugs Bunny, say, getting a stone.
Where's that dough,
Where's the dough?
$40,000.
Put it in here. See? What are you doing? You're bothering me. Hey, it's getting hot in here. I love Bugs Bunny, man. The kids are missing out now.
Remember when he's divvying up the dough? Yeah, one for you. One for you. Bugs Bunny keeps showing up. And me, boss?
One for you.
And he wears a different costume. And me, boss? And one for you. Next thing you know, Bugs Bunny's
gone. He's got a stack of dough.
What a maroon.
What a maroon.
Hey, Robin, where's that dough? This is so cool. How do kids not like this stuff?
Oh, it's good. Well, my kids are getting it. They love my daughter watched this with me today. She loved it.
Senseless violence.
You know. I mean, oh my God.
Who can beat that? So yeah, Jonathan, Dr. Einstein, the two ants are sitting at the table. They've made him something to eat. Along comes Teddy and his
safari
gear. Yeah, exactly. He's got his safari.
Because that's what he wears when he digs the panel.
Right,
the canal,
right.
Digs for the canal, you know.
Yeah, and Jonathan, they don't really get what's going on yet.
Right.
But they're going to find out real soon.
They will. But yeah, he's trying to convince Jonathan's, they're going back and forth about not letting them in the basement, the two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where they want to set up their lab.
Right. And isn't this where he tells Teddy goes in the basement and he does take Dr. Einstein, right? With him here?
You know what?
I can't remember.
I don't know if that happens just yet.
Okay.
What I remember is when they start moving the bodies. But you know what?
I think he went down the basement.
He does go down there with him.
I think Jonathan tells him because he finds out.
He's digging grave size holes in the ground.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, this is already solving our problem. We don't know that they've got a body out in their car that they need to dispose of.
Yeah.
There's
one in the...
Because they never really show the basement. They show them going down the stairs and looking.
Right.
But they never show you what the basement looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But you never see the graves or any of the bodies or markers or anything like that there.
But yeah, they've killed somebody and it's
in the
car. You'll
see the shadow of Teddy look like he's digging.
Right.
But you never actually see him doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he thinks he's digging the canal, they're like, hey, there's a grave. There's some place where we can get rid of the body.
Easy access, yeah. But and they don't know that there's a body in the bench.
Right.
You know, by the window bench.
Right. So what's going to happen is he sends the Jonathan sends the ants, you know, go to bed.
And Peter Lorre
sends
says,
them upstairs.
It'll be a good place for the body. It solves all our problems. Yes. So,
and then, they leave. They're going to go get their luggage and things. They send them up to their rooms.
Yeah,
Teddy comes
Jonathan
up,
takes
and I like how the room is completely dark. And it's actually, you know, you got to pay attention to see who's who, who's mm-hmm. doing what.
Yeah.
So Teddy comes up the stairs from the basement, and he ends up getting the body out of the window seat.
Well, she tells him, when you see the light go off,
mm-hmm.
you come and get the body.
Right.
Okay, that's his key, because the two brothers are there.
Right.
And the two old ladies, not the brothers, but Jonathan
and
Dr.
Einstein.
So in order for them not to see the dead body there, she says, when the light goes off, come up and get the body out, take mm-hmm. it down, which he does.
Right. He gets the body, takes it down.
And he's got his arms around him there. He's
right.
just going, yeah.
And this is all in shadows. And then coming through the window, the window right by the seat, that's how they come into the house.
Yeah, the two sisters
bring their luggage.
See him. He says, "We're bringing our luggage."
Yeah,
because
they're about
way.
To close the window. Like, we're bringing our luggage this way.
Why wouldn't you take the front door?
I don't know.
We're using the window.
But they got the
through
car
the graveyard
back there, and yeah. So they bring their luggage in, send them upstairs. The lights go out. They go out to get the body.
Love Peter Lorre's face.
Yeah, Teddy gets the body out of the window seat, takes it downstairs. I think he may have left the window seat open or something like that, because when they're bringing the body in, you know, and there's all this talk
they
in the darkness. I'll go first, and you'll get I'll get the head, and you'll get the legs.
Yeah, oh, this is heavy.
Oh, you got to help me.
You must help me.
And, they go to bring their body into the house.
As they cut to the lighted basement, and
right.
Teddy...
Bringing
them
the other
down.
Body down.
And that's when you hear a big thump
mm-hmm.
and a drop.
Right.
And, so that basically they, what happens then? They put the body in
they put their body in the window seat.
Because
the light's on in the basement, I think they hear Teddy down there.
Okay, so I think that's why they end up putting it in the bench.
Yeah, they put theirs in there.
Okay.
So what's going to be funny is when when Cary Grant comes back, there's going to be a different body
right
in that window seat.
Yeah.
What happens before that is his fiance comes over, storming
his
over.
Wife. They're married already. I know, I didn't actually
show them get married, so I forget.
But she's asking questions like, yeah, where's Mortimer? What's going on?
Who are you? Whatever. Yeah. And then she finds out who they are.
Oh, she goes, I've heard about you.
Right. And he basically,
what does that mean? What do you,
right.
You know?
Right. She's heard, you know, Jonathan's the bad one there. But yeah, he pretty much kind of like attacks her here. You know, I mean,
oh yeah,
he's almost going to get rid of her.
Yeah. You know? I think, didn't he?
Because she even makes mention of that. Like when Cary Grant finally shows back up, he tried to strangle me.
He tried to strangle me.
Yeah. He's not even listening to him. Yeah. But yeah, they try to gag her up and everything. And then they flash the lights off. And then Cary Grant comes on back here. So. Yep.
And the two sisters come down.
Right.
And I think
they're already in their funeral.
I think that's when they let her go.
They let her go because they're coming downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're in their funeral clothes, all black veil. Right, yeah. They're getting ready for
this. Why are you in your best clothes?
And
Cary Grant comes running back in.
And he's in a crazy mindset. He's just running all over the place. Everybody's there looking at him and stuff like that. And he's just like going, what? What? He's trying to run up the steps, probably to get Teddy, I think, or something. But
because he has to get, he doesn't know yet. He has to get their signatures, I think. He's got the judges, and he thinks that's enough. But then he's told by the doctor that runs the facility that he has to get a medical doctor to sign the form and Teddy to actually sign the form, like to agree to commit himself.
Right.
So
and this is where he's
and he doesn't recognize Jonathan.
Either. Right. He's like, he's like making a funny face. He's like, who are you? Yeah.
What is that?
That's what he says.
What is that?
Oh, and meanwhile, Jonathan is just getting so pissed. He's like. Mm-hmm. He hates being told he's ugly.
He says, remember what I used to do when I used to stick pins under your fingernails and things like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, then he remembers.
Yeah, and he comes right, confronts him, you know, and he's like, you know, like, what are you going to do to me now kind of thing, you know? But still kind of trying to size him up and stuff like that. And, yeah.
It's just funny the whole time that he does it.
Oh, it's hilarious. And Peter Lorre, the Dr. Einstein's like just holding on to him.
Yeah.
You know, like oh my God, save me or something, you know. And the sisters are actually trying to
want the boys to fight.
Boys don't fight. Don't fight, boys. You know, you guys are brothers, you know.
His wife's trying to tell him, you're trying to gag and strangle me.
Oh yeah. The whole time she's saying that. Yeah. They tried to gag and strangle me, and what are you doing? What's going on? He's not even paying attention to her.
And I know something gets mentioned about the window seat. What gets mentioned about the window seat? Because he and his brother. Oh, well, because
they're staying there.
Yeah. And he's like, no, you're not, because I'm staying here. There's no more room for you. And,
right.
And Peter Lorre says something like, he can sleep on the sofa. I can sleep on the window seat. And they both run over there. No, not on the window seat.
And Mortimer sits down. He's like, this is my spot, there. You know.
And then, like, there's even a part where, like, Jonathan even sits there, too. Like, why are we both sitting on here?
Yes.
And I love when he finally does pick it up and see that it's a different body.
Oh, that's funny. But I love the scene when he goes to the table and he's trying to what goes on between Dr. Einstein and Jonathan's talking.
Mm-hmm.
And Cary Grant hollered at him for something and hits his foot.
Right.
And he doesn't even feel it.
Like, he's
flinch.
Got a fake leg. Something.
Yeah, like he's got a fake, and he takes a fork and he's poking his leg
while they're talking. Maybe he doesn't even know they're doing anything.
I mean, he doesn't got a limp or nothing, like it's a wooden leg, but
later he's got no sensation.
They're playing it off,
So yeah, he's telling him to get up there and pack and get your stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not going to take long before you realize this is Jonathan's body that's in there.
Yeah,
because I do like when they're talking later on. Peter Lorre and Jonathan and the two sisters, and they're like comparing almost. He's like, you know, they've gotten 13 and you've only gotten 12.
Oh yeah, and Jonathan was pissed.
He's counting them all, the cities.
He's going, no, I got more. And yeah, he's trying to let him know he's going.
And the one's like, oh, he died of pneumonia. Yeah. He wouldn't have if I hadn't shot him.
and basically he goes, oh, she's one up on you.
Yes, yeah. They're one up on you.
So yeah,
they do make a funny point that, you know, we're running all around the world, and they're staying right here and doing the same thing.
Exactly. That's what gives them the idea that this is the perfect place for them to be.
Right.
There's the two old ladies who got a great thing going.
Yep.
And what a better place for him to
his
evilness.
They just got to get rid of Mortimer. That's going to be the plan. They got to get rid of his other brother. Yeah,
to tie it up. Mm-hmm. That Jonathan's saying, you know, this is
blame it all on Teddy.
I need one more.
Yep.
You know,
and I do when Cary Grant shows his aunt the other body there. She's just all surprised, like.
She's like, oh my.
He looks like a foreigner.
He looks like a foreigner. That's what you said.
And they don't want him buried down there. We can't bury a foreigner next to these good Christian men.
Right.
And she, we won't have it.
Didn't she want to call the cops?
Yeah.
She wanted to call the police because an evil deed has been done here. So there's a dead body in the bench seat.
What's down there?
Unbelievable. I love it.
Everything they've done, and they want to call the police on this.
And he's like, well, no, what are you still talking about? There's 13 bodies downstairs.
Right.
I mean, he's just, he's in a crazy state of mind, man. It's so good. And he's just looking at him like he just does not believe what's going on.
Oh, who could? What a Halloween, you know?
Oh, it was a great Halloween, man. This is awesome. But he's trying to figure out what is the body doing in there, and his brother Jonathan comes down,
right?
And, you know,
because he hasn't realized that his brother is a murderer as well, and it is cool when they realize that they're sitting on there, and he just, I forget exactly what the conversation entails, but once it becomes clear to Cary Grant that he knows that his brother knows there's a body in there, and he realizes it was him who was doing it.
And Mortimer wants to blame him because the sisters kind of understand. So he wants the two sisters to get on his side, and he confronts him.
He blames it all on him.
Yeah, he goes, aha, we know what you know. He gets up off of the bench seat, and he shows, you know, he's basically Jonathan that, you know, the body's in there and stuff like that. And, basically confronts him, and, you know, he thinks he's gonna call the police on him and stuff
like eventually that. Well, eventually the newer policeman is going to show up just to visit.
Yeah, see, your lights are on.
Right, you know? And this is just a hilarious situation. You've got the officer there, you've got the two sisters there, you've got Jonathan there, and nobody could say anything. There's a body in the thing here
because you got Teddy's crazy,
right?
You know, the two sisters are just so nice and so sweet. You just don't know what to think. And his brother, I mean, I don't know. They're just like, you know, it's just. And this cop, the newer cop, is kind of aloof, you know.
Yeah, he's pretty naive about everything. I mean, he even starts talking to Cary Grant because once he realizes he's the drama critic.
I'm a playwright, too.
Right, I've been writing a play. I've been working on it for 12 years. And he wants to act it all out and tell them all about it.
Yes.
And they sneak away. It's, you know, he and the officer, do they go...
No, he told the officer, "I'll meet you at Kelly's."
That's right.
He's trying to get him out.
Get him
there,
out of the house.
He's saying, "Yeah, I'll meet you there at Kelly's, a bar down the street or whatever, and we'll go over it and stuff like that. I promise." You know, he's just going, frantic with it, you know, and stuff like that. And he goes, "Okay, you better not show me up."
Yeah.
You know? And
And then they're gonna get the body out of there. He and Lori get the body out, take it downstairs.
Yeah.
And did they actually bury it?
Yeah.
Oh, they buried it in the same grave as the one that the women did.
Two and one.
Because that's why they got the ladies got so mad. They buried them together.
I
remember
these ladies.
And then the cop will show back up because I think he didn't meet them.
Right.
And that's when kind of the fisticuffs are going to ensue pretty soon. I think because let's see. That he realizes he's got to go get the doctor.
Yeah.
Cary Grant realizes he's got to go get the doctor.
So he has no choice basically, but he does tell them they're getting out of there. He's insisting on this and stuff, but he has no choice but to get out of there and go get the doctor's signature.
Yeah. So. He's got to go actually like bring a doctor, just like any doctor, any, you know, a medical doctor, family doctor. He makes sure to, he has to actually see Teddy and sign the form. So that's going to give, when he leaves, that's going to give Jonathan and Peter Lorre a chance to get the body out, and then they're going to go put it in that other grave.
Yeah.
And so all the back and forth with the doctor, that's where the cab guy says, hey, $22.50, when Cary Grant's running by, because he's been waiting there for hours.
You bought the taxi.
Yeah, he says, you know, 50, you know, what does he say, you know, 30 more minutes, and
you bought the taxi.
You bought it. And when he says $22.50, he's like, yeah, it looks good on you.
So
like,
funny.
Yeah, I think that's when he said, another 50 and you bought it, and or something like that. And He's like, anyway, no, it wouldn't fit me.
yeah, because he's not paying attention to nothing.
He thinks he's talking about his suit. See, he brings Teddy out real quick.
Because he does get the doctor, bring him back, and they're in the cemetery.
Right.
And the doctor's going, cemetery?
You know, Arlington looks beautiful this time of year, and he takes the doctor away. And
he plays it. Yeah, he's totally Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're going to be on their own for a little while. And when the doctor does finally come back, that's when he's going to realize that,
crazy. Oh, where's my that gosh. Form? Give me I'll that form. It. Yeah, let me sign it. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, he sees, he goes, oh, my God, everything is good. And then he looks over and sees Elaine in her window because they're so close. Can you imagine growing up with a girl and then you marry her right across windows? Right. But anyway.
Back then, probably.
Yeah, anyway, she's there.
Oh, she looked like this.
Yeah, she's in her, like, negligee getting ready for bed, kind of.
I know,
of,
and, she thinks, oh, don't my you God. Still love me? Don't
and he, and this is where he kind of starts to snap out of it a little bit at the window because she's looking at him, and, you know, he's like going, his male instincts are starting to take over, and he's going,
he even says, I love you so much, I can't go through with it. He's like, there's just so much insanity in my family. And
right, you don't know.
That's where he says, you know, it runs in the family, practically gallops.
Yeah. And she's just basically, I don't care, that's what I signed on for. Yeah, I love you no matter what.
And he hasn't even told her. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, she's
you know,
she doesn't know. Yeah, definitely. It's hilarious.
So they're going to get back. They're having the funeral service because that's what draws him back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
He hears the funeral service going on in the house that they're having for the
Yeah, you can
downstairs.
Hear it. Yeah, there's a preacher.
Yep, so he gets back over there and let's see, that Teddy's getting ready to be taken away. He signs the form, but the problem is that, you know, the doctor signs the form, Teddy signs the form, but he signs it Teddy Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt.
Yes, he has to sign it,
you know, Teddy Brewster.
Right.
So he has to convince him that it's a state secret. And
yeah, but I don't think he looked at it because he signs it and then he runs off with it.
Yeah.
You know, so he thinks he signed it.
Right.
You know, whatever, with the Brewster name.
And he comes up with a whole big elaborate thing why, you know, he has to sign it.
Oh, my God.
Teddy
yeah.
Brewster. It's yeah. code.
It's code it for this and that. Yeah, definitely. Because the sheriff comes in a little bit later. You know, confronts them all.
Peter Lorre's actually going to try to help him out a little bit. I think he's, he starts to chicken out a little bit, I think, you know, like, you know, Jonathan's going to kill you and, you know, I don't want to see you get hurt. You
need right.
You need to just get out of here. But then, yes. you know, when Jonathan starts creeping up the stairs, you know, they tie him up to it. They tie Grant's character up to a chair.
What was he saying? He's in the chair and he's talking about a scene or a play or something. That was going around. He's like, yeah, and I was just in a chair like this, and they tied him up, and that's when his brother.
Yeah, he mentions how, and it is kind of funny, that, you know, that I saw a play the other day where a man's in a house with people that, you know, a killer. Does he try to leave? No.
No.
You know, does he go for any help? No. Is he even afraid? No. And it's exactly what's going on in the film,
yeah.
So, yeah, they tie him all up. And, oh, yeah, when they open up Gag the case with all the surgical instruments.
Oh,
like
yeah.
what they're going to do to him.
And and I like when Jonathan goes, keep struggling. Every time you struggle, that noose will get tighter and you'll strangle yourself. And Peter Lorre is going, oh.
I know.
Oh, not this. Oh, this is going to take forever. I just, his character. Again, if
That's
you haven't seen
case,
this movie.
Though, man.
The case. Oh, yeah. So this guy's got,
saws and scalpels and knives.
Tons of surgical instruments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. None of them clean because he's not using alcohol on anything. But
you don't clean your
anyway. I know, I'm joking.
That ain't killing all the germs.
You put Germex all over it. Just 99.9.
Just lick it.
But anyway.
Oh, he runs out of schnapps.
Oh, yeah.
He and says, then he can't. Where's that bottle of wine? Oh.
Yeah.
The elderberry wine.
Because the two sisters.
They had it here a little while ago.
They took it away earlier because they didn't
need
want
a drink.
Poisoned. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happens, I think the cop barges in.
Yeah, he didn't get they didn't meet him like he said. And
right.
I like how he just walks in.
He's opening up the door, and he's like, what's going on here?
Because Gary Grant never met him, and he's tied to the chair, and
is it Peter Lorre, Dr. Einstein, who says – he's telling us about a play that he's doing.
Right,
or
right.
And he goes,
and that
really?
That gets the cop going, well, let me tell you about mine.
Well, because he was going to untie him and ungag him, and he goes, No, I'm going to make you listen to what I got to tell you. You're listening to my play. So meanwhile, he's going through his play, telling them all about it, you know, with the brother in the back. They're running upstairs, mm-hmm. and they do start sneaking down pretty much to try to
They've got you know, take he care gets of, a knife. They go upstairs, and Jonathan's got a knife. He's going to stab the police officer.
And Mortimer's,
Peter Lorre takes his shoe off and whacks him in it. And evidently his shoe is hard enough to knock him out.
You would not think that Peter Lorre with the little bowling shoe is what mm-hmm. it looked like. Mm-hmm. Knocking it over this giant monster guy's head.
And he's big.
Is going to knock him out. But he knocked him out cold.
Yep.
And the cop, you know, meanwhile, you know.
What happened to him?
And Mortimer's trying to tell him. He's going, you know. And making,
I think, and he says, "Yeah, I think your play made him fall asleep."
Yeah,
the referring to the police officer.
Right.
I think your play made him fall asleep.
He was too.
And then the older cop,
he comes in because they've been looking for the younger cop.
He hasn't checked in.
Because he was probably at Kelly's drinking and looking at his playwright.
Like those phones, those old phones that we have to call in every once in a while to check in.
Yeah,
and they haven't. And then I like how their lieutenant even shows up.
Yes.
The lieutenant of the police. And he's just dressed like in a regular suit.
He's giddy old sheriff looking dude.
You know, when he comes in, this is going to turn into like a whole big brouhaha here in a minute.
Yes.
With chairs flying and everything.
Meanwhile, when the older cop comes in, he doesn't see Jonathan even laying there or even say anything about it.
He doesn't notice anything.
He just goes right to the phone.
Right. So the other one is the older cop had another fellow officer with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's untying Cary Grant.
Yes.
The lieutenant's going to end up showing up, and you know, hey, well, don't
before,
you know,
before that, you know.
Oh, that's when the fight happens.
Yeah, the old cop goes, you know, you look familiar. Where mm-hmm. did I see you before?
In
which
the
is
whole
funny
Boris Karloff.
Because yeah, the whole Boris, you know, he's ugly, and so and mm-hmm. this is where he gets really pissed. And
starts throwing punches.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose. Yeah. And they start fighting. And,
yeah, he,
you know.
And, you know, Cary Grant is still tied up to the chair and gagged. And it is kind of funny because he's bouncing back and forth, gagged, trying to tell people what's going on.
Yes.
And he's got the chair tied to him. I mean, there's just chairs flying, officers flying.
Yeah, flying across. They're not using their guns or not. Well, I guess good.
Are they not? I mean, it's just a big barroom brawl.
And while all this is going on, Mortimer does get out of the chair and he goes sits up on the steps.
And he's just mumbling.
He lights a cigarette, you know, like they would do back then. And I don't know what's going on.
Completely out of his mind.
The young police officer flies across the room and goes in the day bench. He flies in there and it closes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and he stays in there for a little while because the lieutenant shows up.
Chairs are flying.
You can see
it's like a barroom brawl.
Yes, exactly. It's like a cartoon too. Mm-hmm. It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon with everything flying around.
You know, I love plays, chairs. Smashing on the back.
They have to have at least 7-8 chairs because
where the chairs came from. Every chair in the room is smashed.
Yes.
And then the lieutenant shows up.
Because they finally do get him with the nightstick on it
right.
and knock him out, you know.
And you know, the lieutenant basically, you know, scolds them all for not paying attention to the wanted boards.
Yeah, he goes, "Don't you guys ever look at this?
Don't you recognize this guy? He's escaped from a mental institution in Indiana.
Yeah, this guy's wanted. He's a murderer.
Of course he's wanted." And so they're gonna pick him up, haul him away.
A big to do. This is where the whole big to do comes down to what is really going on in this house, because you've got Mortimer telling a story. You've got mm-hmm. Jonathan and is taken away, and even Dr. Einstein, Peter Lorre is seen a little bit. But the cops and the two old ladies who come back and the lieutenant. They're all trying to figure out what's going on because Teddy mm-hmm. is talking about the bodies in the basement. There's 13 bodies in the basement, and he's going, you know, the lieutenant's going,
from Teddy.
Yeah, you're crazy. Yeah. You know?
Teddy,
yeah. But
there's some people that would believe that.
For a second, he was going to, and he goes, no. And Mortimer shows him the papers. He's getting ready to go.
Yeah, the commitment papers.
Be committed and stuff like that. And what happens too is the two sisters come and they start talking. I mean, they're all completely just admit to everything.
Right.
You know, they're going, oh, no,
oh, there are. There are, yeah. There
yes, are. And the proper burials. And, mm-hmm. and meanwhile, the cops are looking at the two sisters and the lieutenant's looking at them. And Mortimer's up on this up and he's going, and he's trying to tell all the cops, mm-hmm. they're cuckoo. They're
right.
Because he wants to get the doctor.
Because the aunts were going to go. They said they were going to go to the sanitarium.
Yes, because
with Teddy.
Since Teddy's going there, we want to be with him.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. And he said, well, they can't just come and go. It's not.
Right. Because they're saying we cannot put sane, because the doctor shows up at night. We yeah. can't put sane people in there. It's like,
right.
Oh, come on, you can. Yeah,
but after all the stories going on and over about people being buried, yellow mm-hmm. fever, this and that, they've really been there. He's convinced them that they're loony too. So let's get. Although the doctor's starting to say, because he sounded loony, Mortimer right, sounded right. like, you know what, maybe you need to go too. yeah. The whole family needs to go to this, you know,
the insane
Happy Dale, you know, to be happy. They'll each get their own room, you right. know. But yeah, so they all. Basically try to convince him and stuff like that. Yeah,
and then there's the reveal that Cary Grant is not actually a Brewster, that he was the aunts had a cook
mm-hmm.
and he was born to the cook and they took care of him, I guess adopted him or whatever. I don't think they mentioned if she passed away or anything.
Right, but he does find out that he was adopted and he's just elated, you know.
Right, right, because he is not a Brewster. He is yes. not insane.
Even though he loves these two sisters, right. They're so, his aunts, and you know. And the funny scene is too, because they do need, after all of that, and they do get him to sign his real name.
Mm-hmm.
They do need a doctor, so they call over Dr. Einstein. And he's a doctor. And while he's signing it, mm-hmm. the lieutenants or the one of the cops are on the phone, and they're describing his accomplice
mm-hmm.
on the phone. Yeah, short statured man, about 5'3", slight German accent. And Dr. Einstein, Peter Lorre, is just standing in the middle of the room after he signed the papers for them, and he's gone. And then they just get up and they just pat his back and go, yep. Well, thanks, doctor, you know.
Yep.
And he takes off out the door, and he's like, oh, my God, I'm safe.
You thought they were going to get him.
This is awesome. I'm safe. I'm out of here, you know. And, I think that's pretty much it.
I think he
signs papers, you know, for their inheritance or something like
right,
that.
Right, right. And gives them all a little kiss goodbye on his wife, you know, they smooch up and they're going to get in a taxi and no, they don't even get in a taxi. I think he just runs her across the graveyard.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
To the house. We're going to have our wedding night.
Everything's done. So he's ready for the honeymoon. And it's
the whole movie kind of does feel like a play.
It does.
Most of it takes place in this one room. Not all of it, but most of it.
Yeah.
So it does kind of have that stagey feel to it. But it's just a hilarious movie. Something that I'd probably want to watch again pretty soon.
Yeah.
Definitely one of those movies I could revisit. It's so good. I hadn't seen it in probably
mm-hmm.
probably close to 20 years.
Yeah.
And it was just really a cool idea.
Been a while since I watched it, and I mean, I knew it was. There was no way I was going to go to it and go, oh my God, this isn't as good as I thought.
No, I remember it being great.
Oh, and it's even better. I'm like, oh my God, this mm-hmm. is, why isn't this part of my every year movie? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it probably will be. I really liked it. I gotta pick it up on DVD or something eventually. My mom had it. That's where I borrowed it from.
Okay,
she had it. She never even opened it. She's had it, you know, still had like a Borders bookstore sticker on it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, how long has Borders been gone?
You know, so, yeah.
So, you know, she bought it there.
Well, we go to our parents for the books now. That's what we do.
Oh, really?
But, you know, well, I mean, you know, well, you, I think you might still like the books, the novels, the hardcover.
Just my,
no.
My favorites.
Anyways.
I have to have hard copies of my favorites.
So hopefully you like this movie. We did it in black and white too, a little bit different this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, I figure why not, you know, have a little fun with it, do a little black and white thing.
Yeah, not the typical movie that you would see on a podcast like this.
No,
it's
arsenic and old lace,
you know,
man.
I can see where it was an inspiration for certain things, you know, like Burbs or things like that.
Yep.
You know, that type of story. And it's still being, you know, done on stage now.
Yeah,
it's been remade.
I would love to see this on the theater, man.
There's a local theater in Parma Heights that puts it on every once in a while.
Really? So, okay.
Yep, that Greenbrier Commons over there.
Okay.
I think I've seen them do it over there.
I saw the producers there like maybe a couple months ago during mm-hmm. the summer. I missed it, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because I didn't even know that they were doing the plays there. But anyways,
awesome. You know, look for it.
Yeah.
But it's always playing like little revivals, little school plays. Schools do it. You know, high schools do it. So, you know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's very common. And, you know, if you haven't been exposed to it, this is a cool version of it, you know. And I don't see, they could easily remake this with, you know, newer actors and stuff like that. But Cary Grant, there's something about him. He's
the ambiance of this black and white, you know, everything that went on. I don't think you can beat those two old
women. You can't beat those two old women.
No, they were
the original actresses from the stage production. Like I said, they were given permission to leave for 2 months to go make that movie, and then they had to come back to do the stage production.
No, it was awesome, man. I loved it in every way.
Something I'm going to be picking up at the bookstore pretty soon, or Barnes & Noble, whenever I have a chance to.
Yeah.
Because I don't own this one, so I've got to get my hands on it.
Yeah, this isn't real horror, but, you know, me and Ted, we're going to go back and forth on our stuff, man.
It's a dark comedy, and plus the Halloween atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that I thought gave it some credence, too.
Really? So, definitely,
and the little Karloff and Peter Lorre, that's, you know, it's right up our alley. So if you haven't watched it, try to check it out. It's on Turner Classic Movies all the time. I'm sure you can find it at a library.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's a good, fun, like little Sunday rainy day kind of movie. It's a fun movie.
Heck yeah. Or nighttime when you're going to bed and you want to pop in an old classic, you
know? That's how I watched it.
Yep.
It took me two nights because I fell asleep.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, great one. But anyways, yeah, so we're not sure what we're doing next week yet, but we'll let you guys know. And subscribe to us on YouTube channel, The Little Monsters Movie Podcast. Hopefully you guys liked it. And we'll let you know, our Facebook page too, what we always post what we're going to do, you know, prior to.
So you do your homework.
Usually prior to the weekend. Like a Friday, I usually post it, you know.
All right.
So, cool. And we did a Google Hangouts Live this time, which this is all live and, you know, uploading right to YouTube. So a little different than how we film it other times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Wes Craven died and passed away.
Yeah, we got to do a little shout out here.
I figured maybe a little side one will do.
Anything you need to say?
So
I didn't even realize he was sick.
Yeah, we won't talk too much about it right now, but maybe we'll do a little side thing, for him. But rest in peace anyways.
Absolutely.
Join the great horror, you know, icons up in the sky there, or in hell, maybe.
A true contributor to the genre.
Exactly. So anyways, we will catch you next time.
Next week.
Yeah.
Out.